In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Grace and peace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you. As we come before the Lord this day, we come giving praise and thanks to God for the gift of life and all the goodness that we find within it. We come asking for God's help, God's gracious mercy, healing, and forgiveness for those times we have sinned. O God, by whom we are redeemed and receive adoption, look graciously upon your beloved sons and daughters, that those who believe in Christ may receive true freedom and an everlasting inheritance. Reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew. Jesus said to his disciples, "If your brother sins against you, go and tell him his fault between you and him alone. If he listens to you, you have won over your brother. If he does not listen, take one or two others along with you, so that every fact may be established on the testimony of two or three witnesses. If he refuses to listen to them, tell the church. If he refuses to listen even to the church, then treat him as you would a Gentile or a tax collector. Amen, I say to you, whatever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, whatever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Again, amen, I say to you, if two of you agree on earth about anything for which they are to pray, it shall be granted to them by my heavenly Father. For where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them." The Gospel of the Lord.
Alleluia, 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 alleluia.
Friends, I think the church puts us on a mission today by giving us this gospel at this time. I think the church wants us to preach this gospel, to proclaim it from the rooftops, and let it be known throughout the land, because we desperately need it for all that's going on today. And the best way for us to promote this gospel is by demonstrating it, living it, being models of it for everyone. And so we need to understand it deeply, really take some time to mull over these different things that Jesus is saying today, so that we can be a part of the solution. So that Christians throughout the world can bring the healing of Christ to a world that is hurting, a world that's forgotten how to talk to each other. So Jesus says, he gives us a number of steps to kind of take in trying to resolve disagreements with one another. He says, if your brother sins against you, first go talk to your brother about it, just you and him. And how many times do we trip over that first rule right out of the gate, you know, and leave that one behind? And it's easy to understand why. When I'm having a hard time with my brother or sister, when my brother sins against me, when there's a wound there, it's really hard to have that discussion. It's hard because we don't like dealing with confrontation, first of all. There's a sin there. There's an offense. It's hard for me to go to the person who just offended me because I'm afraid that's going to happen again. Or they're not going to listen to the reason that I have to offer or whatever the case may be. So it's hard to take that first step, to bring that confrontation forward. It's hard to bring that confrontation forward in a charitable way. You know, because when I'm wounded, when I'm offended, there's just a natural gut reaction in me to fight back, to defend myself, you know? So that's often the first approach that comes to my mind. I don't want to get restitution, I want to get retribution for that. So confrontations in and of themselves are hard. So a lot of times we don't think to go just between you and me and have a wise and intelligent discussion about this. it's easier for me to talk to somebody that I know has my back in this situation. I would rather go talk to this other person about my brother who has sinned against me. That's super easy, because then it's a fun and friendly conversation. Then you can get in all your imaginary jabs that you think about in the shower, but you never actually say to that person, you know. Then you can do all that stuff. I can talk to someone who's not the offender, but that's not the one who I need to have the conversation with. So we trip on that one a lot of times right out the gate. And how much would our world be improved if we could rise to that challenge more consistently and go and speak to that brother or that sister with real charity, not bringing all of my weapons with me, you know, not trying to bully my brother or sister with loud or bombastic speech, not trying to give these like negative associations. You only do this because you think that, making all of their decisions for them. These are weapons that we use. Not trying to bring up the past. Oh, you always do this. You know, we bring all these weapons with us into the discussion. But the Lord says, step one, when your brother sins against you, is talk about that offense. And hopefully as objectively, as rooted in prayer as we can. Take a few steps back and talk to the Lord about it first, breathe a little bit and say, no, this needs to be restored. I want to be reconciled. Talk to the brother one-on-one. Okay, so we've done that and it didn't work. So next step. So it's okay if you try that and it doesn't work. If that works, by the way, you've won back your brother, your brothers and sisters again. Happy day. Hallelujah. If that doesn't work, then the next step is to bring it before a couple of people so that the testimony may be verified by one or two witnesses. So this is kind of a bit of a legal approach, kind of, because this is like a quote here, so that the testimony may be established on the strength of one or two witnesses. What he's not saying here is bring your brute squad with you into the argument. Okay, if your brother didn't listen to you the first time, then you know, bring a couple of people who will take out his kneecaps if he doesn't listen better the next time. You know, that's not what he's saying. This isn't like a brute force thing. This is, again, bring it before wise, objective witnesses. So think about people who are, first of all, disinterested, like neither one of them has a dog in this fight, and people that you know to be wise, people that you know to be joyful, happy, holy, good, all these things. So bring it before witnesses like that so that they can help you have a discussion. Because maybe the problem is both of us are just so wrapped up in our own agenda in this argument that we're having a hard time seeing the other person's perspective. But if I have objective witnesses who, again, are not really interested in fighting for either one of us, they can maybe think more objectively than we can in this moment and help us to establish what's really at the base of this argument. I mean, sometimes having someone like that in the room changes the dynamic. I know there have been a number of times when I've been like over at people's houses, maybe friends or parishioners or whatever, and a husband and wife will make comments to each other, kind of playfully, but through clenched teeth, and sometimes I think, I bet that conversation would have happened differently if I weren't here looking how I look, you know? I don't wear chasubles to people's houses, but you get the general idea. You know, sometimes having a witness there of someone that both of you respect can change the tenor of the conversation, can change your tone. I recently read an article this past week that I hope is not true. I didn't have a chance to go back and corroborate and see how they came to this data. But this article was suggesting that since the time of the pandemic, so since last winter, the divorce rate has gone up by 34%, and the divorce rate among newlyweds is up by 20%. And that makes me really sad if it's true. And these are always very delicate, very personal, very thorny issues, obviously. But I hope and pray that as people are coming to a crisis moment in relationships, especially relationships as sacred and as powerful as marriage, that they will take the time to consult with another, with a wise outsider who can help to bring a bit of clarity and objectivity, especially in these pressure cooker moments. It kind of doesn't surprise me a little bit. It surprises me that it would be that high, but an increase doesn't surprise me because we've been so trapped inside without the abilities to do our normal things. We're feeling unsettled anyway because of all the ways our life has been curtailed by the restrictions of the virus. But I hope and pray that we can take the Lord seriously on this. Find some wise intermediaries who can help us to really establish our arguments on truth so that we can really hear each other fully. So maybe we've tried that. We've brought it before a couple of intermediaries, and the problem still exists. So then the Lord offers us a third step. He says, bring it before the church. And this is an interesting thing to consider. It's one of the earliest uses of this word church, by the way, bring it to the ecclesia, the church. And of course, the church for Matthew means something quite different than for us now, in terms of like a whole gargantuan church community throughout the world, as we know our Catholic Church to be now. You know, Matthew is talking about the assembly of believers. Somehow bring it to the assembly of believers. And it's tough to know specifically what that will look like. So I was in my prayer with this passage this week, I was imagining, what can we do with this today in the church as we know it today? How do we bring our argument before the church? Wouldn't it be beautiful to, in the midst of your arguments, you know, you've tried one-on-one, you've tried the intermediary, to care enough about this person to say, can we go and pray together about this? Not even talking to each other. Let's just go to a church. Maybe sit before the tabernacle, sit in the presence of the Lord, particularly if the other person is Catholic as well. Even if they're not, you're still allowed to do that, but whatever they might be comfortable with. Can I bring it to the church? Can I, in my own personal prayer, as I'm thinking over the topic of this argument, can I really start to apply, what does my church have to say about this? In the faith and morals that I've been raised up in, where is truth here? Lord, help shine the light of your Holy Spirit on this situation, because I don't want to lose my brother, my sister. I don't want this division to remain. I don't want it to endure. And so we bring it to the church. We seek out, what does my church call me to do? Or we bring it directly to the Lord to make a holy hour and say, Lord, I'm out of ideas. I've tried a number of things. I need your light. I need your healing. I need your peace. I need you to help me to know what to do. So to bring it to the church, I think this one in particular, we're in dire need of this throughout our nation. Because our disagreements with each other and like throughout the whole of society are bubbling up in violence and hate speech and all kinds of things like that. And we need to invite the church into this. As we are entering into this new political season and we're this coercive language on both sides of the fence, telling people what to do, it always strikes me that if our leaders, if all of the people in government were firmly rooted in their church, in the values of church, and really almost no matter what church that is, but if you're truly rooted in the values of church, then like left and right, Democrat, Republican, however you want to call these things, they're really facets of the same thing. They're not terribly different from each other. They're going to emphasize different facets. But if everyone is rooted in church, in values that come down to us from above, then these things are really not that far apart from each other. It's only when we get away from church and replace church with opinion poll You know, replace church with gut reaction. That's when we start to be really different from each other. And that's when we start to become irreconcilable. And that's painful. We as Christians have something to say about that, and we have something to witness to in our society. So we bring our disagreements into the church. We say, Lord, show me the way. Bring healing to this situation. Lastly, Jesus says, even if that doesn't work, then treat this person is to be to you as, that's kind of literally translating the Greek into the English, let this person be to you as a Gentile or a tax collector. What does that mean to you when you hear that? Let this person be to you as a Gentile or a tax collector. There's one way of hearing that is saying, don't really have anything to do with that person. Because both of those groups were kind of outsiders to Judaism. Tax collectors were a little bit kind of betrayers of the Israelite people because they were working for the Romans and stealing, essentially, from the Jews. And then Gentiles are simply completely outsiders. Well, I looked up those words in the rest of Matthew's gospel. There's not a whole lot else about Gentiles there. But Matthew has a lot to say about tax collectors. And whenever Jesus is around tax collectors, he's inviting them to dinner. Or, in Matthew's gospel, he's calling them to be an apostle. He's consistently reaching out to them because he knows that they're outside and he wants them to become brothers. So the last thing Jesus says is, if all of those things didn't work, then treat them as a Gentile or a tax collector. That means recognize that they're actually kind of not a brother to you right now, but you desire them to be. And you're looking for ways of building a bridge again someday. So he says, if all those things didn't work, you brought it to the brother himself, you brought it before some wise and holy and good friends, you brought it to prayer in the church, and all that didn't work, then it's time to switch to the long game. It doesn't mean reject them completely. It means recognize, ooh, we're not brothers anymore. And that's an open wound. That hurts. And so I pray for you. I genuinely want healing for you. That's what it means to treat someone as a pagan or a tax collector, to desire that they find healing and conversion so that we can one day be brothers. Such a powerful reading for us today, friends. This is something that we need to witness to the world around us because we're falling apart with this stuff. And we don't fix it on our own power. The healing that will once again draw us into a deeper union and unity, the healing that will bring better than ever levels of equality between us, the healing that will restore our society, and not just restore it, but make it better than it ever was. This is the recipe. And so, Lord, we need your power and your grace. We ask you to help us to search our hearts this day. Help us to see the times when we have not followed this really beautiful advice that you give. Lord, help us to call to mind those with whom we struggle right now, those we may be in disagreement with in this moment. Bless us, Lord, with a vision of how to see. First of all, how to courageously approach that person one-on-one. And then point out to me, Lord, who are the wisdom figures in my life who I may need to rely on as resources to guide me through, to help bring healing to the situation. Give me confidence, Lord, in your presence here in the church and in the moral tradition that I've learned on my way through life to rely on that. Help me to see where the church and faith in you is about to bring healing to this situation. Place in our hearts, Lord, a desire that all may be one, that every division may be eradicated, that together we may come to know you, our Heavenly Father.
If today you hear his voice, harden not your hearts. If today you hear his voice, harden not your hearts. If today you hear his voice, harden not your hearts. If today you hear his voice, harden not your hearts. Come, let us sing joyfully to the Lord. Let us acclaim the rock of our salvation. Let us come into his presence. Let us come with great thanksgiving. Let us joyfully sing our psalms to him. If today you hear his voice, harden not your hearts. If today you hear his voice, harden not your hearts. Come, let us bow down in worship. Let us kneel before the God who made us. For he is our God, and we are the people he shepherds. We are the flock that he guides. If today you hear his voice, harden not your heart. If today today you would hear his voice, harden not your hearts as at Meribah, as in the day of Massa in the desert, where your fathers tempted me. They tested me, though they had seen my works. If today you hear his voice, harden not your hearts. If today you hear his voice, harden not your hearts.
Oh God, you created us, called us to be family. We lift up these prayers to you now as your sons and daughters, asking that you continue to heal us and help us by your grace and answer to these prayers. For we lift them up all to you this day with faith and confidence in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Let us pray. Grant that your faithful, O Lord, whom you nourish and endow with life through the food of your word and heavenly sacrament, may so benefit from your beloved Son's great gifts that we may merit an eternal share in his life, who lives and reigns forever and ever. Almighty God bless you, Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Go forth now glorifying the Lord by your life.